The two theories which come to mind seem to be quite inadequate, and we don't seem to be able to think of anything else instead of them. So what should we conclude from this? Well, a very radical thing somebody might conclude is that the idea of a conscious mind is itself an illusion. There is no consciousness in the world. There's just physical things. There is no such thing as minds. If there's no such thing as minds, of course there can't be a mind-body problem. The mind-body problem is the relationship between mind and body. If there are no minds, then there is no mind-body problem. If there are no ghosts, if there are no witches, then there's no problem relating ghosts and witches to the ordinary natural world. It's just an illusion. Well, you may be surprised to learn there are philosophers who have seriously held this view. It's called eliminativism. It's the idea that you can eliminate the mind, that the mind is a non-existent and pre-scientific idea or category, which in a proper scientific worldview we would simply not talk about. So, just as we used to think that there was, animism was true, that ordinary physical objects, stones falling to earth and so on, had spirits in them that were determining what they would do, as if they were themselves free agents deciding what they would do. Now we realise that that's a load of poppycock, right? That there was no such thing, and it's just the objects are obeying physical laws of motion and so on. So, according to the eliminativists, we should suppose that human beings, we should not be animists about human beings. Human beings don't have any minds at all. They don't have any thoughts. They don't have any feelings. They are just robots. They're just zombies. There's no mind in there at all. Well, that's a view which would strike anybody, and I hope strikes you, and certainly strikes me, as an absurd view. It's absurd to suppose that I don't have a mind. I know that I have a mind. Descartes was quite right. I know for certain that I have a mind. I know for certain that I exist. So there's no future in the idea of denying that I have thoughts and feelings. I think that's a fixed point in these discussions. But philosophers have been driven to that because of the severity of the mind-body problem. They realise that the problem is so difficult, the solutions that have been proposed are so inadequate, that something desperate must be said in order to get out of this difficulty. Now, I don't think we'll have to be driven to that point, and I think if we were, that would be a disaster for everybody. And in the next lecture, I will try to explain why it is that we don't have to go in for that eliminativist point of view, and we don't have to accept the implausibilities of materialism and dualism.
After listening to Lecture 9, a student posed this question to Professor McGinn. Did Descartes think animals also had a duality of mind and body? Let's listen to the professor's response.
You might ask what Descartes would say about the minds and bodies of animals. Now, certainly you could be a dualist about the mind and bodies of animals. You could suppose that the mind of an animal was a distinct substance from the body of an animal, and thereby you'd allow for the potential immortality of animal souls. And, of course, there are those people who like that idea, who'd like the idea that heaven does contain the souls of their long-lost and dearly loved pets, and, you know, it's not a view that I would particularly pour scorn on. But Descartes, as a matter of fact, didn't hold that, because Descartes' view was that the essence of mind is thought, and his view was that the minds of animals don't involve thought. So they don't really deserve the name mind. They have sensations, they have feelings, they have drives, but they don't have, according to Descartes, minds in the sense that they think about things. And since he thought the essence of soul, the essence of the human mind, is thought, he didn't think that the minds of animals, so-called minds of animals, had the same status as the minds of human beings. That's not a view which very many people nowadays would sympathise with. Most people nowadays would wonder why Descartes was so sure that animals don't think. They would say, well, don't dogs think? Don't chimpanzees think? They have beliefs about things. So it's hard to maintain Descartes' view. And even if you were persuaded that animals don't have thoughts, since they do have sensations and emotions, they must have a form of consciousness, and their form of consciousness seems to be a very different kind of thing from the body. So, still, there's a problem about being a materialist, even for animals. Still, dualism seems like an attractive view, because the consciousness of animals, even if it just consists of sensations and emotions, seems to be a very different kind of thing from the brain. So Descartes' views on this, I think, would be now regarded as rather outdated. And essentially, the mind-body problem arises not just for human beings, but for any animal with any kind of consciousness at all, even quite primitive animals who just have ordinary perceptions. There's still a problem how the sensations of pain which occur in a lizard or a bird are related to the brain of the bird. They still seem to be very different kinds of things. So we shouldn't suppose that the mind-body problem is just about human minds. The mind-body problem is about any minds which exist, animals, extraterrestrials, and humans.
This ends Lecture 9.